we begin tonight, and we do have with us Michael Oliver with Transportation. And, we tried to do this a couple weeks ago, and we were just too busy to make it work out. But,
and we're here
was,
now.
I was bearing down on us. But,
we're here now, and I know nobody has any questions or anything for me, so I know it's going to be quick, but... as I have in years past, I always come sometime March, April, to give you the real secondary recommendations for that fiscal year. Tonight we have the 2025-2026 real secondary recommendations for Tree County. As the judge already said, that's based on a formula, and we really think it's enough, but it's what they give us. And so until that changes, Tree County's tentative allocation this year is a $1,632,068. Now, there's an undistributed balance in the account from last year. Basically, everything that I'm getting ready to tell you that we're going to do is an estimate. And so if any of that money is left over, which I normally am conservative when I do my calculations to make sure that we never have we never owe money. We've always got money left over. And so the money that we kind of overestimated last year, that money's left over. It's $179,581. So we always add that back in. So that gives us a balance this year of $1,811,649. Our recommendations, first recommendation is always the rural secondary roads. We have 137.147 miles. We estimate that at $3,600 per mile. That's kind of a number that we've used here in Trigg the last 4, 5, 6 years. We haven't went up on that, and we've been doing pretty good, so we'll leave it the same. That comes out to $493,729. The second priority is the county flex funds. This year, we put Tree County in the 25% category, which is the highest that they will allow us to go. So 25% of Tree County's tentative allocation comes out to be $408,017. And so that's this year's flex funds for Tree County. This year, we actually had this discussion with Frankfort back in December, January, before any of these storms, flooding, anything came, and we finally saw that our bridges, our infrastructure was in dire straits in many counties. And so we had already kind of decided that, hey, we're gonna really put out a big chunk of our money for the next couple of years and deal with our infrastructure issues. And so we had already went down that path. We had already prioritized all of our rural secondary roads, figured out where our postings were. We were going to address those, and then the floods came and we had some issues, and that kind of reinforced our decision that, hey, we need to focus on bridges. And so we are this year going to really focus a lot of our efforts, both with money and with manpower, on structures, whether it's cross drains, pipes, culverts, bridges. If it's not a total replacement, we will be doing debris removal, we'll be doing scour, we'll be doing concrete work, anything that we can do now that'll buy us some time to keep us from having to post bridges, that's what we're going to do. So we do have some bridges, however, that are just too far gone. The number three priority is one of those cases, and that is on Donaldson Creek Road, 807, at the 3.9-mile marker. It's going to be a total bridge replacement. The current bridge is posted at 10 tons, and so we will be doing a total replacement of that. We estimate that, as I was telling the judge, when we go back and replace existing culverts and existing bridges, we're going back bigger and better. And so I've got to hear on here that 60 foot, I think that current one is like 38 feet. But knowing what Frankfort's probably going to want us to do as far as over design, we calculated that on the 60 foot span. So it comes out to be about $432,000. There again, if money's left over, we'll have it for next year or this year. But we are going to do that one. That one is the number one priority on rural secondary routes. It's the lowest posting we have on any rural secondary route right now. So we're going to take care of that. The next one is we're just going to earmark $275,000 for bridge work, washout, scour, any kind of concrete work, any foundation work, any bridge decks, anything that we can do that will lengthen the life of a bridge, that'll get some postings raised. That's what we're going to do with that money. The last recommendation is number five, which since we're not doing just several rows of paving, we earmarked $200,000 just to have my guys and possibly the magistrates to give us some feedback on not a mile, 2 mile paving, but some bridge ends, some base failures, some raveling, some places that you have that you are always getting complaints on that may be 1,000 feet or less, that we can go out and I can put a master list together for the contractor and they can go all over the county. And I've earmarked 200. If it's 300, we can probably come up with that money. But basically, we're not going to be able just to sit down and pay for miles and miles and miles because we're doing bridge work. That's real secondary funding. Now, on the back, as I usually do, I've put down some other projects that we have going on in Creek County this year. Starting at the west of the page, at the Marshall County, Tree County line, there is a long section of US 68 that will be paved. That will it was actually going to start Monday the 28th, but I got a text on the way over here that Rogers Group said they're having some problems with their asphalt plant. You go figure today. And so that might be a little later than Monday. It might be Wednesday, Thursday, but that one is coming up very soon. They're going to do from Kentucky Lake Bridge to Barclay Bridge. All of that in between is going to be done. So that's about a $3.2 million project. It's a big project. And so then you go north up there. We've got Kentucky 131 and Kentucky 124. That intersection has been let to contract. We do have a successful bidder. The bid on that was around $875,000. The contractor is probably going to want to move in on that the last of May, 1st of June to get started. I think the judge was telling me that they've already started taking down that store out there.
Not yet.
Not yet. But they're probably getting ready to sign, doing some surveying. Like I said, they're probably going to want to start end of May, 1st of June, because that project has to be complete by November the 15th of 25. So it's going to be a pretty quick project. Over there next to that, north of that, or east of that, we have a US 68X. About 3 years ago, we did about half of US 68X, but we stopped right there in front of the I think it's Katie's Church, the Bank of Katie's, right there. There's a clear joint. We're going to pick up there and go all the way to 68. So it's about a 2 mile section that we're going to do on 68X. And then down at the bottom, south end, I've got the Kentucky 807. I've got where that bridge is at. Like I said, we'll go back and take care of that, put in a new structure, and then whatever money's left over, we'll either do other bridge repairs or we will do other things with it. Let's see, what else was I gonna? Those are the only projects that I know now. I know we have, Frankfort has what they call now a 4 month look ahead, where they kind of let us know the projects in the next 4 months that are gonna be up to bid. I looked at the one that runs through July, and I didn't see anything on there for trig, but that doesn't mean that next month there will be something. It just, that's the way it happens. So this is kind of what we've got going on. I know as part of that paving that we were talking about, I know there's a section that I've been out to and already measured up on 1253 where the water came up and just basically just ripped the asphalt, just washed it away. I've had some guys out there saw cutting and putting down base, and we're going to pave that. So that'll be done. All over the county we'll be doing paving. It just won't be, it won't be long paving, but there'll be, we'll be getting the worst spots.
Refresh my memory, $200,000 will do how much paving?
Right now our bid is about, it's $105 a ton. So that'll get us about 1,900, 2,000 tons. And like I said, if we need to bump that up, you know, we can, we've got some money squirreled away. We won't let a bad spot get like really bad, just put it that way. We'll take care of it. If, we've got several avenues that we can do. So if you can, you know, give me some feedback as far as some areas that you always get calls on, whether it's bridge ends, base failures, spots where people are coming up to a stop sign and the pavement's pushing, major potholes, anything like that, if you can pass them along to me, we'll add those to the list, and we'll just run Rogers Group bracket this year. So instead of being in one spot, they'll be all over the county.
Is there any updates about the Birch Creek Bridge repair?
Yeah, so that 272? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so as far as a full-fledged repair, it's in the six-year plan, but it's one of those unfunded projects at this current moment. We think what's going to happen is that there's been such a hit on our infrastructure that some of these bridges that were on the outlier years, that there could be some funding to push them further. To be honest, I don't know if that bridge has even been designed yet. I know it's been a placeholder and said this bridge does need to be replaced. However, I think calls are going to be made to basically say, hey, we're going to put this bridge along with 20 other ones in our district was a problem during this flood, and it was already posted. The approach is washed out. We need something done, and I think that's something that transportation understands and that they'll entertain if we need to do something. What we've done now, of course, we're going to go in there and pave it. You know, what we've done now is a fix for, you know, a year or two, if need be. We hope it don't have to last that long. We hope that we can get in there and get it done. But there again, I don't even know if that project, that bridge has been designed. I know the judge and I were talking before, and, you know, we would want that thing to be a lot lighter. And so I hope it's not designed, and then we have to go back and say, it ain't wide enough. You're going to have to start over. So in one way, I kind of hope it's designed so we can get going on it. But in another way, I hope it's not, because it needs to be wider.
I appreciate Magistrate Dunn saying that, because that was a question I was going to ask. It's a big concern, and it's always been a problem as you approach the bridge, too.
Yeah.
From the east side, it's mm-hmm. always been a dip, and the road gives way there. And, of course, the whole bridge thing washed out. So.
Yeah. And I think that's a lot of why there's been a big push in Frankfort to make it bigger and better, is because what happened is that stream came in, you get a couple of logs that are sideways, then all of a sudden the water keeps going around, and then that's when it eats out. If that bridge had been longer, it right. would have just kept on going through. We wouldn't have had a problem. But so I think now, you know, once they figure out what the stream width needs to be, they're putting a factor to it and making it wider. Just to keep this from happening in the future. Of course, we don't know if this might have been a 1,000-year storm. We may never have to worry about it again. But if we do, it's something that we need to be prepared to deal with. So.
One of the big issues with those 6-year road plans is that when, and Frankfort has always been notorious for over-programming these 6-year road plans.
Yeah.
You know, it's one thing to overbook a flight, 10 extra seats, because 10 people may not show up.
Sure.
But when I started in Frankfort, it was about 250% overbooked. Mm-hmm. And so just because you had something in a 6-year road plan did not mean it was ever going to get built. And
right.
So we have had that's been reduced over time. Unfortunately, this is one of those bridges that was in those outlier years.
Yeah.
And the design and the funding stream for that has been long in getting here. But it's a 90-year-old bridge. Mm-hmm. And with it out the other day, we had people, 70 homes, that was basically just trapped there. So as we look through this process, and I realize you can't, you know, there's no magic silver bullet to make all this infrastructure improved.
Right.
And we could try to find a way to move these projects like this one.
Right.
You know, up the list. And we're going to talk about 139 just for a moment, mm-hmm. Michael, with the water that's been over some of these roads. That's been mm-hmm. a big concern. My office has got a lot of phone calls about 139 in particular, since the road is still closed to through traffic.
Right.
It is causing a big diversion with people going from what we call the South River here in Trigg County to Katy's and vice versa. A lot of people coming in and out of the county, on that road to work.
Right.
Puts a lot of extra burden on county roads that were not designed for that type of activity.
Yeah.
So what's going on with the water situation, your estimation?
Let me go back to the 6-year plan first. What a lot of people don't understand about the 6-year plan is that, you do, of course, but what a lot of people, the public, may not, they think that, you know, once you fund it, that's it. But in a sense, in a situation like this bridge, you've got the design phase, the right-of-way phase, the utility phase, and the construction phase. There's actually 4 phases. So when I come to you and I tell you that Kentucky 139 and 124, the contract was $875,000, that's probably half the cost, because we had a design phase, we had a right-of-way phase, and we had a utility phase. So a lot of times when the public says, well, we've got the money, let's just build the bridge, well, you got to go back and you got to design it, which takes months. You got to buy right of way. You got to move utilities. Then you can actually build it. And so, it does take some time. To your question on 139, we have like the judge was said. I know y'all been inundated with calls. We've gotten several calls as well. We went out last Thursday and we measured it, and we were about 3 foot deep at the deepest part on 139 South. And as of today, we're about 16 inches. And so the water is coming down. Don't ask me where it's going. I don't want to know. But the water is coming down. Now, we did look at a plan to pump it. Obviously, we can't pump on anybody else, but we can go to the top of the hill and pump it on our road and let gravity take over it. Wherever it goes, it goes. We did call several rental companies, and United Rentals, we called them, and they actually, it was bigger than what the local office could handle, so they called their fluids division in St. Louis, and they sized us a pump. It was going to be a 6-inch pump, and we were going to have 2,000 feet of hose to get it to the top of the hill to where it could go down. They didn't have 2,000 feet of hose in one place, so they were going to have to call all their different offices and get it shipped here, freight and everything. And so we ended up getting a quote from them for the pump. They were getting ready to quote us delivery, but then we had the guys check it in the morning and the afternoon, and we found out that it's dropping 4-6 inches a day. Again, I don't know where it's going, but it's dropping. Today, as I set up there in the judge's office, they said that it's about 16 inches. And so, now that's at the road. That's not, you know, in the ditches or anything like that. So, we could try to do a pump plan, but who knows, in 3-4 days it may be gone. And it would probably take that for us to get this thing going. especially when we've got 50-foot reels of hose coming from all over the U.S. just to get us 2,000 feet. So I guess what we can do is we can wait, see what happens in the morning. If they go out there and just drop another 3, 4, or 5 inches, we know it's pretty consistent, and that within the week it should be down. The judge and I were talking about, you know, these areas. We've got 139, we've got a spot on 126, where it's all, every time it gets a heavy rain, the water is over the road. And we've got one on 807 as well. And so what we did is we went out and marked where the water's edge was on the road. And so one thing that we thought about doing this summer, when it's good and dry, dust is flying, we've thought about taking some of this money and raising several roads, that this happens again, we won't be flooded out. Some areas, it's going to take a 500-year storm to ever even get close. So there again, is it money that's, you know, well spent, or is it money that could be spent on something? It's always a give and take, but that's something that we're looking at, especially with the spots that are always seem to be underwater. And that spot on 126, we've got a spot on 807 that seems like doesn't take much of a rain at all now for it to be underwater. And so that's kind of where we're at on those issues. It's not really a good answer, really. But I do know that, you know, we are really focused on the 272 area. I know whenever I talked to you several times about that bridge being washed out, of course, me not being from this area, I didn't know how big of a deal it was until you told me there was all these people that couldn't get out because of Glenwood Mill and some other areas.
Yeah.
And so then immediately we had our guys working all night long to try to get that thing filled in. And then we got it filled in and the water, because of a hole, for better, lack of better words, in between the pier, when the water came, it was pulling all the debris that we put in there, all the rock, it was pulling it right back out. So then we had to go and get some of the large concrete that we took out of I-24, put it down in there as a bridge so that it couldn't pull out anymore, and then we built it up. That's what it's working on now. So what we've got there now is not going to go anywhere, but it's not something that we want permanent. We want a new bridge. So when we do have cases like that where people are stranded and can't get out, emergency vehicles can't get in, those are the ones that we really want to focus on. And so that's why 272 is kind of elevated to the top of the list. So, and it may be that I can get with you know, some of our folks in Frankfort, and maybe we can use some of this money. I've got 275 earmarked. Maybe we can use that as a start to get something designed. Then once we get it designed, it's a whole lot easier for Frankfort to say, hey, you've already got it designed. All we got to do is give you money to build it. We might go that route. So we'll definitely see what we can do.
Well, as we walked out of my office a while ago, we saw the rendering of the Edgar's Ferry Bridge. That's now a reality because of, you know, a bad mishap.
Yeah.
And so I told Michael, I said, we don't want to let this opportunity,
yeah,
you know, as bad as it's been,
yeah,
go to waste.
Yeah.
And so let's take advantage of it, find a way to fix the bridge. It needs to be fixed, and it's 90 years old. And I think with all eyes on it, we can find a way to move it forward. And so
I think that was somebody's political slogan.
Never
let a incident go to waste or something. But it is true. If it's a problem, and it is a problem, you know, now is the time to try to get some help to address it. And so that's kind of where we're at with the 272.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. So anyway, I don't want to let you leave without thanking you for your work with the local, your work personally, and then also everybody in the state road department here in the Trigg County district with their work trying to make sure that bridge did get repaired, because we were up against the wall, as
yeah.
you know, trying to find a way to make a bad situation from getting worse as it approached dark that evening. We found out that we were going to be able to get that repaired, and as you said, we had to do it again the next day because we had it inundated with the rains. But
and we're also looking at
doing that.
You know, to help with the Bird Creek side, the 272 bridge side, we're also looking at the other way out, where across the other bridge, where we always get water over the water. We're looking at raising that section of road as well. I don't know how far we're going to have to raise it or how we're going to, you know, but that's something else that we've looked at, is maybe we need to do that side also.
Well, anyway, thank you for coming tonight, and you've heard the recommendation from Michael. Any other questions about things you might have? We've talked about one particular district, but I don't want to skirt the fact that we have water over lots of roads, state roads in the district. A lot of it maybe you've never seen water over those areas before, but it, you know, 15, 20 inches of rain, fail is caused that. But some of these places are prone for flooding anyway, and we just have tried to find a way to remedy those if we can. And so do you have any other questions for Michael? Or
so, go ahead.
I got one more, Mike. And, you know, and like you said, it may be a once-in-a-lifetime, you know, deal. Is there any plans down the road with the 139 South as far as drainage-wise, if it could happen again? I mean, if we don't get the road raised or whatever, is there some way we could maybe drain it more toward Birch Creek?
Yeah.
Just a question, just kind of curious.
So we're gonna look at that and that section of 126 as well that we always have problems with. I guess for lack of a better word, both of those areas are in a bowl. Everything, it seems like, all different ways drains to that area, and there's really nowhere for us to.
Right.
I mean, we could ditch it, but the ditch would be 15 feet deep by the time we got it, you know. So, but we are going to look and see if maybe, you know, we need to go out there and drive some sheet pile, put some gabion baskets, do something to where we can get us something to build off of and raise that road 4 feet, something like that. That'll at least make sure that we know that unless we get another 14-inch rain, it's not going to flood. But so, you know, those are the things that we're going to look at. But to be honest, short of just building the road up in those two areas, I don't know if there's anything that we can do drainage-wise. Because if we did it, the cut and the ditch would be so deep. To slope the sides back, we would have to buy a bunch of right-of-way. And I don't know that the property owner wants that. And then you're getting into a pretty expensive project. And so as funny as it sounds, it's almost cheaper just to raise the road rather than having to deal with all of the, you know, right-of-way issues, utility issues, you know, one thing and another. So that's probably what we're going to look at.
Okay.
And I can't believe that Mike Wright is going to let me leave without asking about the 68X bridge.
Because I know you're taking care of it.
Well, I thought, he ain't going to let me leave without asking about that bridge.
I feel like I've asked enough.
So we do have a long-reach excavator on rent. We've had it on rent for 2 months. And I can't remember if I was telling the judge or if I was telling Mike, but it was supposed to be up here the Monday the rain started.
Right.
And right now it's in McCracken and Fulton, because whereas we have issues, debris issues, they have no road issues.
Right.
And so it's down there right now placing culverts and doing things. I would hope that in the next week to 10 days we'll see it.
And I was assured that bridge is so far underground to hit bedrock that it's not going anywhere because of that debris.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's that debris is, I don't want to say it's not putting any pressure on the bridge, because, I mean, it is, but those piles are so far down in the third in bedrock. It's more of an eyesore, and it's more of a tourism thing as far as not being able to get through the channel than it is anything.
What was the reason that the old mill that used to be there and the concrete that's under the water and debris starts to catch on that, then it gradually builds up?
Yeah.
And is there a reason that can't be blown or taken out so the logs do flow freer and they don't slow down and catch like that?
Yeah.
I've heard there's some kind of fish or some kind of organism.
I don't want to point fingers at a sister agency, but I had planned to build a channel lining ramp out there so that I could reach all the way out and pull all the debris back to me. And while we were doing it, that wall
underwater
might just go away.
Right.
So I thought, well, you know, I need to check with the Corps, you know, being a good neighbor, you know. And they thought it was a great idea. But then he thought, well, I might need to check with my boss. So he checked with his boss, and his boss wanted to do a underwater survey for mussels and for other maybe I don't know what, snail darters. I don't know what y'all have down here. But it was going to end up costing us about $70,000 to $80,000. And
for the study?
For the study. And, you know, while I'm all pro animal, pro, you know, everything. The only way that we could feasibly do it, I mean, our money's tight like everybody else's.
Right.
So, you know, I could spend $70,000 to $80,000 to do the study, or, you know, we could do it from the bridge for $2,000 or $3,000 four times a year for lots of years, you know. So to answer your question is we won't be able to get in the water. Right. Unless, you know, the county wants to go in hackers with us or something, but I don't want to, like I said, I don't want to
Make a light of it,
but I don't want to dump on any sister, because they've got rules, we've got rules, I've got rules I've got to go by too. We had talked about the entrances, you know. I would love to help, you know, but we've got rules, they've got rules, and so that's we've all got a boss. But that's why we can't get in the water. You've got to have an underwater, you've got to have a survey, you've got to make sure that you're not going to be doing any kind of damage to any species or even the underwater sediment. You got to, and so that's, I told the local guys, I said, look, it's no, y'all got rules, we've got rules.
I know. The snail darter season is huge, too.
Is it?
Oh, yeah. People line the banks. Catch them.
Yes, sir.
Is the state road department going to stop doing tiles?
Yes. Well, we quit that. It's been about 10 to 12 years ago we actually quit doing those.
I know Brandon said it was coming for a long time.
Yeah.
Has it stopped now? Because there's a lot of this.
No,
rain.
It actually stopped 10, 12 years ago. I mean, there are, I'm not going to say that we haven't done any, because there are times whenever our guys may damage a pipe. There are times when the contractors working for us, mowing contractors, may damage a pipe. In those cases, we feel like we need to replace it to make the owner whole. But about 10, 12 years ago, the governor's office basically said, you know, we can save this much money every year as a state if we just basically do the permitting process, make the owner put in their own entrance, and then whenever they get it done, we come back, we make sure it was done correctly, and just put that onus on the property owner. And that's been about 10 years ago when we started that.
So the state right-of-way,
yes,
is the owner's responsibility completely.
Yes. Completely.
If the roads come, if the transition to the driveway is coming up or anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's always, there was a time when we did put in the entrance the first time, but when they signed the encroachment permit, it's always been in the encroachment permit that the owner was responsible for any maintenance of the driveway. It's always been that way. But now we have to give permission for somebody to have access on state road.
You say it's always been there, but the owner had to buy the tile, and then the state would put it in.
Well, it depends on the county. There are some parts of the state where the owner had to buy the pipe and we put it in. There were actually some parts of the state to where the county provided the pipe. It was like a wild, wild west. And so I think that's one of the other reasons why the governor just said, hey, let's just not do it. Just put it on the property owner. The state will be out of the tile business. Now, we still do cross drains. We still keep tile because we do have instances to where, you know, if one of my guys backs up and tries to turn around in somebody's driveway and it gives way, well, I'm going to have to replace somebody's pipe. So we do keep them, but as far as going out and just maintaining driveways, we don't do that anymore. Which normally is not a big issue, but when you have a 14-inch rain, all of a sudden, everybody, you know, wants you to work on it. So
I have a non-water related question.
Sure. Yeah.
So I have a constituent that's asked me multiple times now, and I personally don't know any instances of this, but I guess there used to be where you could petition the state to take over a county road.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any examples of that happening recently, or any reason that that would be something that the state would consider now?
So what we do now is, I don't know if you call it horse trading or what, but we do from time to time take roads from the county, but normally it's a trade for trade. Depending on who's in Frankfort, it used to be a mile for a mile. Then at one time we would take one and give y'all three. It's the ratio changes. I don't know what the ratio is now, but there are times to where it just, from a transportation aspect, it just makes sense for us to have a county road that might connect two major state roads and then give you all a road that we have that might be a dead-end road that really probably needs to be a county road, and y'all's road needs to be a state road, so we'll just do some horse trading, and but we still do that. Normally, what happens is that request usually works its way up through the judge, and he'll get with either me or my boss and say, hey, you know, we've got this road. We're wondering if y'all would be interested in taking it. Usually, you know, we have to do a little study and say, well, yeah, we'll take that road. It's 2 miles, but we want y'all to take these 3 miles. Normally, the roads we give y'all are already paved and they're already in pretty good shape normally. But that does happen, but it needs to make sense from a transportation standpoint. You know, we wouldn't want to take a pig path dead end road. But if you've got one that goes between two major routes, it might make sense for us to take it, you know. I guess that's where it's left up to the judge to decide.
Well, good question. And we have reviewed roads in the past.
Mm-hmm.
They did not get traded.
Sure.
But it's not to say that we couldn't continue them to look at some different roads
yeah.
for different needs, and maybe they have a different purpose or a different number of homes on it or something that would be more beneficial to be a state road sometimes.
Sure.
So we'll always be open to that discussion. As you mentioned, sometimes you didn't feel like you were trading one for one, and mm-hmm. you felt like you were kind of losing out to start with, so why bother? But anyway,
I guess to answer your question, the proposal never comes from us. You know, it's always usually the county says, hey, we've got these couple of roads that we'd like to give you all. So that's where it starts, is with the county.
Okay. Any other thing for Mike? Well, we have some business to take care of while he's here with the approval of the rural secondary road recommendation for 25-26. You saw the allocation, you saw the breakdown of the improvements. Obviously, we could hash over why didn't this road or why didn't this bridge all night, but we have to, you know, understand their reviewing and looking at some of the real secondary improvements and infrastructure, whether it comes in the form of paving or bridges, is still a total project use. And obviously, the last month, we've seen the benefits more than ever of the bridges being in good shape. So we'll take these recommendations and with the additional paving that the state's going to do outside of this recommendation. So is there a motion to approve tonight?
I'll make a motion.
Second.
All right, there's a motion from Master Bush with a second from Master Broadbent to approve the rural secondary recommendations from District 1 for the 25-26 year. Any other questions or comments that you might have for Michael or myself? If not, if you're ready to vote, Masters, those in favor of the motion to approve, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And opposed, like sign. There is none. Motion carries. Michael, we appreciate you coming over.
Judge, y'all need anything, you know where to hit me.
Be talking to you soon.
Yes,
thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank y'all.